Thank you, Jonga, and blessing. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Friday, November 13th, 2015. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gandhi. Here are our top stories this evening. 21 students, most of them female, are arrested in Harare following a protest calling on the government to address their grievances. The ZANU-PF Party Politburo is expected to meet next week to deliberate, among other issues, on rising tensions ahead of the party's annual conference in Victoria Falls next month.
They've got the right to follow the due process, and the leadership shall look at the whatever disagreement could be existing in any given area.
And Zimbabweans continue to weigh in on the First Lady's next possible move as fissures widen in ZANU-PF over her husband's succession debate.
She's mixed up Zimbabwe. She goes on insulting senior politicians who brought this country here, but she doesn't seem to see them as big people.
These and much more coming up. Stay tuned. Students, 15 of them female, were arrested today while others were severely beaten by the riot police for staging a protest demanding the government looks at their grievances seriously, including higher tertiary fees. Commenting, the Zimbabwe Human Rights Association said in a statement it was concerned by the arrests and beatings of students merely expressing themselves and is calling for an investigation. The students had notified police over a week ago, but when they arrived for the demonstration, there was no police escort, only to be intercepted by riot police along Nelson Mandela between First Street and Second Street. Among the arrested female students is the Zimbabwe National Student Union ZINASU Gender Secretary Joanna Mamombe, and the assaulted students include a disabled female student from Bulawayo Polytechnic College. The ZANU-PF Politburo is expected to meet next week and possibly deliberate on rising tensions in the ruling party owing to factionalism ahead of the party's annual conference in Victoria Falls next month. Senior and junior members have been trading barbs with physical violence emerging as the party is restructuring after ousting those aligned to expelled former Vice President Joyce Mujuru. There are tensions in Manicaland, Harare, Maswingo, Mashonaland East, West and Central. Political temperatures are also expected to reach a boiling point when First Lady Grace Mugabe, aligned to a faction called Generation 40, resumes her Meet the People rallies next week, with stops in Harare, Midlands and Mashonaland East. Generation 40, or G40, is involved in a serious turf war with a faction allegedly headed by Vice President Emmerson Mnangagwa. The two have, however, denied that they had factions. ZANU-PF spokesman Simon Kayamoe tells Studio 7's Blessing Zulu that dialogue can solve any problems that might be creeping in the party.
We don't know what classes people are talking about. We've said, however, there are differences of opinion on any matter. The party has a constitution, very clear constitution, and procedures to follow. So whoever feels aggrieved, they've got the right to follow the due process, and the leadership shall look at the whatever disagreement could be existing in any given area. So we don't see that as clashes as such. There could be differences of opinion on some issues. And that's what democracy is all about anyhow.
But has anything been brought to the attention of the leadership?
Well, we meet once a month at Politburo. And naturally, next our next Politburo meeting, we should be hearing some reports from those provinces. That is next week.
That is ZANU-PF spokesman Simon Kayamoyo speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Harare. Political analyst Clifford Mashiri says factionalism in ZANU-PF will only deepen as long as President Robert Mugabe remains at the helm.
The disputes in ZANU-PF have deepened, and they are actually showing that what they were claiming, that is what the ZANU-PF leadership was claiming last time at the previous party conference, is the problem. That of Mujuru, it was only a tip of the iceberg. Now they are facing those problems. Everyone is seeing them. There is the inter-party factionalism. Even those who had settled for the appointments that were made by Mr. Mugari are finding it unacceptable, like the appointments of the vice president and so on. There is a lot of crisis, or there is a huge crisis in ZANU-PF at the moment.
We also understand the party amended its constitution to bring clarity to the succession issue by saying that if for any reason the president cannot continue, there will be an extraordinary congress. Can this resolve any of the problems?
That may not resolve the issues. It is only in theory. In practice, we are likely to face or to see factionalism taking a violent, type of transformation.
That was our political analyst Clifford Mashiri speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from London. MDC President Morgan Tsvangirai today relaunched the party's publication, The Real Change Times, saying this would give the movement an opportunity to tell its own stories ahead of the 2018 national elections. He said the relaunch was an indictment on the media industry in the country, particularly the public media, which has a constitutional role to cover the diverse opinions in the country. Tsvangirai paid a tribute to the private media for striving to tell the true story of Zimbabwe, particularly the opinion of the broad democratic movement that he said is never covered by the public media that have a constitutional obligation to carry the diverse opinions of the people of this country. He said the public media has belittled itself by choosing to play servitude to the narrow and partisan interests of ZANU-PF. The speculation has been rife in the country that the ZANU-PF constitution could be changed at its forthcoming December conference to make room for First Lady Grace Mugabe to take over the leadership of the party, that is, if you believe the ZANU-PF rumor mill. Sources say some within the party have been pushing to turn the conference into an extraordinary congress that could alter the constitution. But ZANU-PF spokesperson Simon Kaya Moyo told Today poured water on those expectations, as Arthur Chigoriwo reports from Chinoy.
What doing the round in political circles was that the so-called Generation 40 group was trying to force a constitutional change in December and then set a clause saying the party's next leader should be a woman, and in that way pave way for the first lady. This would give her room to become the party's next candidate in the 2018 presidential election, but there's been a lot of pushing back from within the party, according to sources. Kaya Moyo said people should not expect any constitutional or leadership changes at the December conference in Victoria Falls, adding his surprise by the interest generated by the meeting.
We can't amend the constitution. The point is simple. That we, as a party with structures, and the highest organ of the party is the Congress. The Congress is the Central Committee. So if there are any changes which are desirable at any time, it's the Central Committee which attends to that.
For those speculating that Mrs. Mugabe could be appointed vice president as her team advances their alleged plan to groom her for the top office in the land, Kaya Moyo said the issue of vice president was resolved at the last Congress, where the party's constitution was changed, allowing President Robert Mugabe to appoint his two deputies. back to the ordinary people and their take on the First Lady's alleged bid for the top office. Absalom Mngwenya, a detainee at Wawa prison during the War of Liberation struggle, tells Studio 7 Mrs. Mugabe's future looks bleak in the absence of her husband.
She has mixed up Zimbabwe. She goes on insulting senior politicians. Senior politicians who brought this country here. But she doesn't seem to see them as big people. Sees them like puppets, little girls. For instance, on Mtasa, he was looked at, he was mocked and insulted publicly by a person who was never anywhere near the lines of firing. As such, she's going to face the same road like all Mao Itsung and the other people. And this lady in Africa, you remember, who was also arrested because of that.
Dennis Kagonye, publisher of The Mirror, the Mashonaland and West Provincial paper, concurs.
She'll be doomed. She'll be nowhere. Because there are cannibals behind here who are using her to cause disorder in ZANU-PF.
Kagonye says things will change for the First Lady once her husband leaves office.
If the husband still exists, but if the husband is no more, they won't let her go ahead with the plans of leading the ZANU-PF.
Another Chinoy resident, Cosmas Makwanya, says this is the time for Mrs. Mugabe to move for the top job in the land.
Some other people are just interested in taking things, in enjoying and doing this and that, but without supporting her at heart.
Alaska senior citizen Atwell Mazarure says there's nothing wrong in Mrs. Mugabe running the country. He says from what he has seen, she has the experience and knows diplomacy and politics as the president's wife. He adds the First Lady's political life depends on the president's position.
You must remember, she has got a right to participate in politics. She has got a right to influence his husband, whether by implication or otherwise. Because it's her life.
With speculation after speculation continuing to be thrown into President Mugabe's succession debate, it seems that only time will tell, as Mrs. Mugabe herself is not saying much about her political future. Reporting for Studio 7 in Chinoy, this is Arthur Chiguriwa.
You're listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington.
We are broadcasting on 909 Metum Wave and on the 4930, 5940 and 15460 shortwave frequencies.
On the internet, find us at www.studio7news.com.
You can also text us at 001-202-465-0318.
Coming up, weekend sports preview with Michael Cariati. But first, a look at regional and international news. The U.S. military says it has carried out an airstrike targeting Jihadi John, the notorious British Islamic State militant who appeared in several videos depicting the murder of Western hostages. The military says it is certain that Jihadi John died in the attack. Russia's state aviation agency has banned Egypt's national carrier from flying to Russia amid speculation a bomb was planted on the Russian airliner that crashed last month in Egypt's Sinai Peninsula. And U.S. President Barack Obama is expected to focus on the Trans-Pacific Partnership during a trip to the Philippines and Malaysia next week. The massive trade deal is a key component of the administration's strategic rebalance towards the Asia-Pacific region. The Zimbabwe Congress of Trade Unions says it has started taking measures to stop the transfer of the collection administration of workers' pensions from the National Social Security Authority, NASA, to the Zimbabwe Revenue Authority, ZIMRA, and Treasury. ZCTU Secretary General Japhet Moyo says they have written to the government registering their concerns as they fear that the money might be misused because it's common knowledge that the government is struggling to raise salaries for civil servants. Moyo tells reporter Jonga Kandemiri that the government already owes the Social Security Authority $100 million, which it is failing to pay back.
Government has made it public, has made it very clear in certain platforms that they will want to mobilize resources as much as possible. And the best way they can mobilize the resources is to mandate ZIMRA as a revenue collection center to do that exercise where pensions are collected and then remitted to NASA on periodic time. So it's official, although government has not managed to brief the social partners because NASA is administered under a tripartite arrangement. There is a board, although we are not yet part to that board as ZCTU.
We understand that there are laws that must be amended first before the transfer. May you explain this process?
Yes, we have a NASA Act which deals with or regulates how we are going to collect NASA, how the structures are like, the structures which administers NASA, how we are going to go about investing in the subscriptions we receive for the future payout of the pension. Our view is that if there are changes to that, therefore, one will expect government to put a legislation to that effect. If there are legal requirements needed and the government is unable to do that, we are likely to go to court to challenge that.
That was Zimbabwe Congress of Trade Union Secretary General Japhet Moyo in Harare with reporter Jonga Kandemiri. It's almost a week since hundreds attended the commemoration of the Battle of Gadade, the final battle between Matabele warriors and white colonial settlers in 1893, but people have not stopped talking about the reincarnation of the battle. The crowds were the biggest since the commemoration started 4 years ago. The event was held at the place where the final battle was fought, about 30 kilometers north of Bulawayo, near Ntaba Zinduna. We spoke to Greta Vodloza Sbanda of a pressure group called Umhlahlo Wesizwe Sikamthwakazi, one of the people who organized the event.
I can't even describe how the response was, but I tell you the response was excelling for the 2015.
Can you tell us exactly what was happening at the commemoration?
Yeah, quite a number of things were actually happening, but the main thing that was there was to teach our people, was to talk to our people, to understand the sacrifice, the determination that was shown by our gallant heroes who participated in that battle at the time.
And what do you make of the future of this commemoration? Do you see it growing bigger and being attended by government officials?
Yes, certainly, Mr. Kande, I can see this thing swelling, if I can actually describe it, swelling to an extent that our government officials will really be forced to attend these meetings.
That was Greta Vodloza Sbanda of pressure group Umhlahlo Wesizwe Sikamthwakazi on the line with Studio 7 from Gweru. Studio 7 is now available on Channel Zim on your WizTech free-to-air decoder from 9 p.m. 11 p.m. Monday to Friday and from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. on Saturday and Sunday. From your WizTech decoder, look for CH Zim. Channel Zim is available 24/7 on your satellite TV, smartphone, and online. To listen online, go to www.zim.org. studio7@channelzim.net. Listeners, please continue sending emails to your mailbag on studio7@voanews.com so we can read your messages on air. The address is again studio7@voanews.com. You can also call our hotline +1202-205-9942 and dial 11 when the phone is answered to leave us your voice message, which we can play on air. The number once again, +1202-205-9942 and then dial 11 to leave your message. And in sports news, Michael Cariati gives us a weekend rundown.
All the leading three teams in the Castle Premier Soccer League, Chicken Inn, Triangle and Dynamos, are in the race to secure the last tournament of the season, which is being sponsored to the tune of 433,000. The winners of the competition are guaranteed of 80,000, while the runners-up will take home 50,000. While all the participating teams will also be rewarded financially. Net One Managing Director Rod Gangai tells us who is getting what.
Winners are to receive $80,000, runners-up $50,000, losing semi-finalists $30,000 each. And the losing quarter-finalists will each receive $20,000.
Dynamos are hoping to capitalize on the late coming of the tournament to make up for the loss of the Castle Lager Premier Soccer League title and the Chibuku Super Cup, which they lost to Harare City. The popular Harare club will first have to deal with the Haumain, whom they have been drawn to play against in the quarterfinal set for Rufaro Stadium Sunday. Coach Tondera Indiraya believes the Easy Call Cup is their only source of hope after three draws in a row saw them surrender their dream of a fifth consecutive league championship. Ndiraya has lost the support of his team's world of followers, but Chairman Ken Mbaiwa says his job is safe despite where doing rounds that the club has approached former coach Sunday Chizambwa, who is at ZPC Kariba.
Remember when you took over from Andigora, where we were and where we are today, I think he's done a good job. He's going nowhere.
Ndiraya, however, will have to win the Easy Call Cup to be sure of his job, as events on the ground seem to contradict Mubayiwa's word. Leaders and title favourite Chicken Inn have a tight battle in their hands when they make the long journey to Kariba for a debt against ZPC. Chizambwa side are hard to beat at home, and the Gamecocks will have to produce something out of the ordinary to come out with a good result. Norman Mapeza's FC Platinum are among the favourites for the Easy Call Cup. Kugona Kunenge Kudada have the advantage of playing at home against struggling Highlanders. However, Mapeza himself says he's an admirer of the ailing Blauwe Giants and refuses to be drawn into predicting the outcome of the match.
We will take each game as it comes. We leave everything in God, in God's hands. God knows our destiny.
The Easy Call Cup quarterfinals, however, we'll go into motion at the National Sports Stadium tomorrow when Caps United's Green Machine play Wange. Caps United assistant coach Fungai Kwashi says the Easy Call Cup gives them the chance to restore their tag as the Cup Kings of Zimbabwean football.
We are meant to be Cup Kings, and we are Cup Kings, so we have to relive those moments again.
The semi-finals of the Easy Call Cup will be held on December 6, while the final has been reserved for December 13. Reporting for Studio 7 in Harare, this is Michael Cariati.
Time it is now. It's time for your views on our mailbag with Sandra Nyaira.
Esther. Good evening, Zimbabwe. This is Sandra Nyaira bringing you tonight's mailbag. Our first email comes from Newton Konde. He says, I'm Newton Konde, currently living in Mozambique. Firstly, I would like to thank you all for spreading genuine news to the world. It is reaching us clearly in spite of bad waves sometimes. I'm looking for my child, Marvelous. She is 16 years old now with her mother, Chipo Chapanduka, from Headlands, Manicaland, whom I missed in 1999. We separated due to other inconveniences. I got a message that she would leave the child at Osborne Dam, where her mother, my mother-in-law, was residing since there was a separation with Mr. Chapanduka, my father-in-law, while she went to work in Harare. Up to now, there is a breakdown of communication. I'll be so glad if you make me rejoin with this family because blood is thicker than water. Most of her family members, the Chapandukas, are from Headlands in Manicaland. To anyone who's concerned, my email address is newtonkonde@gmail.com. The contact numbers are country code plus 258, then 825. 206348 or 866 472231 or 84382456. Thank you for your collaboration. I am Newton Konde. The second one comes from Goni in Chipinge, who says, thank you for being the voice of the voiceless. Thank you so much. Hello again, Studio 7. We love you guys. Keep it up. When will ZANU-PF respect other human beings? All that they talk about are lies and pretense. If Mrs. Mugabe becomes the next president, then the country will fall worse than where it is currently. The writer does not give us their name. And from Mira in Gurue, he says, the truth of the matter is that ZANU-PF is no longer the darling of the people. To keep in power, they resort to violence to instill fear in the people. This time around, people are going to stand on their feet, defending themselves. We say no to violence whatsoever. ZANU-PF must not take people for granted. God is now with the oppressed. No man will stop Morgan Tsvangirai from ruling or running Zimbabwe. He is our anointed next president of Zimbabwe. That is Mira from Gurue. The next email reads, good evening, Studio 7 listeners here in Karoi, Vuti. We are so much concerned about the decision taken by the Wurunga District Council to attach property for those farmers who failed to pay their unit tax for this year. Vuti farms are among the first farms to be allocated to black farmers soon after Zimbabwe got independent in 1980. The farmers were allocated these farms from 1982 to 1985. What pains most is that most of the farmers had already made part payment of their arrears. The council had attached property like tractors and cars through their lawyer who operates in Karoi. A farmer is required to pay $3 per hectare every year, meaning to say for a farmer with 600 hectares, they are required to pay $1,800 to the council, which is too much considering that the same are yet to be given their money by the GMB. The next one reads, hi, I'm Patrick Ncube from Kwekwe. I just want to say hi to Wilson Ncube in Harare, Antonetta Chichaya, and Tonderai Chichaya. Thank you guys for the great news that you are bringing us. That's all we had for you tonight. Keep those emails rolling in to studio7@voanews.com. Have a blessed weekend, Zimbabwe. This is Sandra Nyaira. Good night.
Stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. when our host will talk with you, the listeners, and our experts discussing the issue of arrests and police brutality. To join the discussion, text us at 001-202-465-0318 so we can call you right back from our studios. And now to recap today's top stories. 21 students, most of them female, are arrested in Harare following a protest calling on the government to address their grievances. The ZANU-PF Politburo is expected to meet next week to deliberate, among other issues, the rising tensions ahead of the party's annual conference in Victoria Falls next month. And the Zimbabweans continued to weigh in on the First Lady's possible move as fissures widen in ZANU-PF over her husband's succession debate. That's all for tonight. I'm handing you over to Ntungameli Nkomo for the Ndebele Bulletin. My name is Chris Gande. Good night, Zimbabwe.